From Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So today is officially our first Sunday in the season of Lent, which is why I get to match all of the banners and paramets, and my hair is no longer the blue-green that it's been forever. I'm grateful for the season in our church calendar, and it's not really a surprise to me that these texts from Genesis, Romans, and Matthew are our readings for today, particularly our Matthew text. It begins with Jesus going into the wilderness and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. In the season of Lent, we walk with Jesus for 40 days and 6 Sundays to the cross, some of us fasting, some of us observing the season in different ways. But it makes sense that we begin this church season, this first Sunday, with these words from Matthew. Because after fasting for 40 days, Jesus encounters the devil, which in Greek really just means accuser. And so Matthew calls him the tempter, Satan, but we also call him the accuser, the one who accuses. So Jesus encounters the accuser out in the wilderness, and Jesus is tempted by him. These three different temptations culminate really into one impulse of sin that we as humans often do. We have since the very beginning. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree in the garden, they didn't do so because they were hungry. They did so because they were tempted, they were drawn in to this question, could we be like God? The serpent tells Eve that the tree won't kill her, but it will make her like God. It will give her the knowledge of good and evil. And this is the original sin. It's the sin that follows humanity, that tempts Jesus, that continues to affect us in our lives. And it's a trick. It's a temptation. It's a cheap imitation. Wanting to be like God really comes in two forms, both of which Jesus is tempted with in our reading today. The first is trust. We don't want to trust God naturally. We just want to trust really anything or anyone else besides God. We tend to forget that it is God at work around us and in our lives. We trust a multitude of different people or things. This might be a trust in money, that if only we had a little bit more, everything would be perfect. This might be a trust in our human leaders, that if only the ones we like were in power, then everything would be perfect and the world's problems would be solved. This might be a trust we put in ourselves, that all of the good we have found in our lives has been our own doing, that the opportunities we received were because of our own merit, because of our earning it. But the truth is, the theologian Martin Luther reminds us that putting our trust in anything other than God is idolatry. Now, that's not to say that God isn't working through these things we mistakenly put our trust in. God does work through finances, God does work through our human leaders, and God most definitely works through us. God gives us the opportunities, the strength, the will to do what we do. But in wanting to be like God, Adam and Eve put their trust in the serpent, in themselves, above God, and it's something that we still do. And putting our trust in something other than God is a trick It is a temptation that we fall for, and it is a cheap imitation for what it really means for God to be God in our lives. And so when the accuser comes to Jesus with this temptation, when he tells him to make bread out of stones, when he tells him to jump off the temple, Jesus says, "I don't believe you." The accuser wants Jesus to put his trust in himself, that as the Son of God, he has this ability, but Jesus knows that God is at work in his fasting, at work in his life. And Jesus points back to Scripture against the accuser's Scripture and says, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." When we try to be like God, to imitate God, we fall short. In our trying, we are only imitating what we think it means to be like God. But it's not money, it's not humans, it's not ourselves or anything else that brings us life. It's God that brings us life. And so the second way that this original sin draws us into this temptation is that we often seek power. And we often seek it over others without even really realizing it. For Adam and Eve, having dominion over creation was something that God gave them. But by eating of the forbidden tree, they were looking for something more. They were looking for the power that God has, that they could be like God to gain the knowledge of good and evil. And knowledge is power. And sometimes, at least today, it seems like knowledge itself isn't just power, but just perceived knowledge is power. And so even with the knowledge of good and evil, humanity often fails to choose good over evil. We fail at naming injustice. We fail at seeking good, at seeking God's love and mercy in the world. So even when we are given knowledge that maybe we have privilege in our world, that maybe we have more than those in need, that maybe the knowledge that we are given from God is for the poor, is for the meek, for the oppressed, and we struggle to know what to do with that knowledge. We struggle to be voices for those who are hurting because of prejudice, whether that prejudice be based on economic status, race, religion, ethnicity, orientation, or gender identity. We struggle to name good and evil, even though we have been given knowledge of both. We struggle to give up perceived power. We struggle to let go of the status quo. And we struggle to make room for people who are different than us. And sometimes our faith can become the basis for us to feel as though we have power. We say that we know the truth, and sometimes we draw a line and put a lot of other people on the side of it that isn't ours. We find ourselves feeling hurt when the world around us doesn't conform to our beliefs. We get mad at other Christians for not doing it right or for getting it wrong. We forget that our faith has a broken history of doing serious harm to those without power. And so maybe the power that we are being drawn to is in some kind of knowledge that we have it right, that we are somehow better than or more blessed than. And sometimes that's a hard feeling to admit. But it is a trick. This power is a temptation, and it's a cheap imitation for the way in which God actually acts in our world. Because when the accuser tries to tempt Jesus, when he shows Jesus the kingdoms of the world in all of their splendor, and he says, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me," Jesus isn't buying it. The accuser wants Jesus to seek power over others, to seek power and control, but Jesus points back to Scripture, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Knowledge of good and evil without the strength to choose good is worthless. Power or control over others is not the kind of power that God wields. God reigns, God breaks into this world with God's kingdom not to be in control of humanity, but to be in relationship with humanity. In lieu of God's obvious presence out in the wilderness with Jesus and the accuser, Jesus points to Scripture, points to God's word as a foundation for him to lean on in the face of temptation. And Jesus is the Son of God. So not only does he have God's word to remind him to trust in God, to give power and control to God, not only does he have Scripture, but Jesus is both human and divine. He's the Son, and God sent him to the world in order to save the world, to save us from our temptations. So in reality, when Jesus is tempted, he has a bit of a leg up here than we do. Because we are human, like Adam and Eve, and we fail, often. We put our trust in any number of people or things above God. We are drawn to power over others. We seek to be like God, and sometimes we fall for the trick. Sometimes we give in to the temptation, and we find that it really, really is a cheap imitation of godliness. In our trying, we are only imitating what we think it means to be like God. But we fail to fully put our trust in God. And when we do that, Jesus trusts for us. This is the reason God sent Jesus into our world, to give us, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans, a free gift that is not like the trespass. God's grace, God's mercy, this gift is nothing like the sin we know. And Paul reminds us that although there are many who have struggled, who have been hurt and do hurt, who fall for the imitation of power, who give into the trick of false trust, there are much more who have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. This free gift of grace, of forgiveness, of eternal life is the gift God gives us in Jesus. Paul says it took one man's act to condemn humanity, Adam and the fruit. And so Paul tells us it only took one man's act of righteousness to bring forgiveness and eternal life for all, Jesus on the cross. This gift of love and mercy is not something that we can earn. This gift of forgiveness and life is not something that is given to us because of our merit, but because of God, because of the Holy Spirit, and because of Jesus Christ, because of the amazing gift that Jesus gives us when he goes to the cross, when he overcomes sin and death for the world, for us, for you, and for me. So as we move into this church season, as we move into Lent, as we walk with Jesus to that cross, we can give our trust to God. We can be voices for the voiceless. We can give up human power. We can seek good over evil. We can lean on God's word, and we can recognize the incredible ways that God is being God in our lives and in our world. Amen.
Amen.